Appreciate a continued interest in your prayers. Psalm 116, verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I think that describes each one of us here. David is presenting this question, and he asked the question, and I would present it to you, and maybe we can look at some scriptures that would help direct us on answering this question. What shall I render? We can't pay the Lord back. We don't have what it takes to pay. But what he's saying right here is, what shall I offer unto the Lord? What shall I offer unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This brings it down to a personal relationship between you and I and the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Let's look at just a few of the examples that we have in the scriptures of folks that rendered unto the Lord. If you're thinking that we brought musical instruments into the church, we haven't. If you're hearing the sound coming through the loudspeakers, it's somehow, I see that you are. We didn't bring an organ in. It picks up somehow some of the music. It may be one of the nearby churches, but we haven't figured out how to separate that out. But there's not an organ back over in the corner somewhere. So I wondered where that was coming from, so there's a little lady in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and her name was Hannah. And Hannah was barren, without child, and it says that Hannah was very sad. In fact, it said that she was a sorrowful soul, and it says that Hannah even had bitterness of soul. Anybody ever experienced bitterness of soul? Hannah, it says, had bitterness of soul. But Hannah had, as Brother Chuck said, the good sense to go to the Lord about it. And the Lord heard her prayer. And it says that Hannah prayed to the Lord, and the old priest Eli, she was so grieved, she was so burdened, she had such a weight, her heart was so heavy, that as she prayed to the Lord, that her soul was so bitter, and she was so heavy, and she was so weighted down, that as she prayed to the Lord, she moved her mouth, but no words came out. And so Eli sees this, and he goes over to her, and he says, you need to abstain from the wine bottle. You've been given to too much wine, and here you're moving your mouth and nothing's coming out. And she said, listen, I am not like, and she refers to it as the women of Belial. She says, I'm not like the ungodly women. She said, that's not what my problem is. She said, I have a heavy heart and I have bitterness of soul. And she said, I'm running to the Lord with my problem. I'm running to the Lord with my burden. Well, first of all, she went to the right place. She went to the Lord. I talked to somebody just this week and they said, I'm suffering with depression. Well, the best place to run when you have depression is to the Lord. Because first of all, the Lord knows your need, and the Lord's able to help. He is. And Paul says, and I think we ought to take heart to this,
Paul said, my friends, now whether or not they did, Paul at least felt like they did. He said, I don't have any friends. He said, he goes down the list and he even names the ones that labored with him. And he said, they've forsaken me. He said, some of them love this present evil world. And so they left serving the Lord. He says, they've forsaken me. In fact, he says at one point, he says, I feel like, he didn't say I feel like, I said he felt like, because he said, all men have forsaken me. But he said, but the Lord. He said, the Lord strengthened me, and the Lord encouraged me, and the Lord stood by me. And sometimes when all else fails, we need to pray that the Lord would strengthen us. Hannah's running to the Lord. She said, Lord, all these women around me are having children, and I'm barren, and I have no child. And she had bitterness of soul. Now God heard her prayer, and God delivered Hannah. In fact, it says after that I think she had as many as 5 children. But up to this point, she'd had none, and God blessed her with 1 child, and his name was Samuel. And in chapter 2, you can go down and read all of chapter 2. And chapter 2 is Hannah, after her heart had been changed. She said, my horn is exalted. She just stood back and praised God in chapter 2. And there's the prayer and song of Hannah of her praising God. But how did Hannah render unto the Lord for the benefits that God had shown her? When God gave her a child, she said, Lord, you've given me this child, and Lord, I'm going to turn right around and I'm going to give him back to you. I'm going to take what you've given me, and I'm going to turn right around, Lord, and I'm going to give it back to you. Well, I'll still be responsible for raising it, and I'll still be responsible for nursing and feeding the child. But Lord, I'm taking this child that I wanted so much and I longed for so badly, and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to give it back to you, Lord, and I'm dedicating this child to your service all the days of his life. So Hannah rendered unto the Lord by turning right around and recognizing that this child was a blessing and a gift from the Lord, and saying, here it is, Lord, I'm dedicating this child back to you to be used in your service, in your kingdom, to your glory. I thank you for giving him to me, and I'll tend to him, and I'll nurse him, and I'll encourage him every way I can, but he's yours. Now really and truly, he was his before Hannah gave it to him. But that shows the blessing that Hannah had in dedicating and giving him to the Lord. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? In Psalm 51, David, who mentions this verse in Psalm 116 and offers this to the Lord. David said, there was a time in my life, Lord, that sin had its grip on me. Is there any hope of breaking the chains and the bondage and the grip that sin has on our lives? Is there any hope? I mean, really, is there? Is it at all possible? Is there anything that we can look to, that we can get strength from? Look at what David says here. David was confronted with his sin with Bathsheba
And when confronted, here is the response that David cries. He says, Lord, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And then David says in verse 3, he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. First of all, David's sin was before the Lord. And then the Lord began to lay it to his conscience. And he said, my sin is ever before thee. And he says, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And then David, he reminds us, he says, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. He simply means that we're conceived by sinful mothers and sinful fathers. We are sinners by nature and then we're soon sinners by practice. And David said, I've just missed the boat all the way around. I'm a sinner from head to toe. My mind sins, my words sin, my feet sin, my hands sin. He says, I'm a sinner through and through. And he says, there's no hope that there's going to be anything better except in the Lord. And here's what he said. He said, cleanse me, Lord. He says, wash me, Lord. He says, make me whiter than snow, Lord. He says, make me to hear the joy and the gladness and the bones which thou hast broken that thou mayest rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. David, all of a sudden, you want to know what repentance is? This is a definition of repentance right here. This is a definition of an individual that truly is repentant. It's not David trying to paint it up. It's not David trying to fix it up. It's not David trying to patch it up. David said, Lord, you know me inside out. You know my thoughts. You know my words. You know my steps. You know where I've missed the mark. You know that I've fallen so short. But he says, Lord, I don't want to stay there. He says, Lord, I want some change. Lord, I want something different in my life. Lord, I want you to take this old heart that gets cold, that gets hard, that's not sensitive to the things around it, and Lord, I want you to change it. Lord, I want you to make some things different in my life. He says, Lord, even that joy, I think if I'm not deceived, in times past, there was some joy in my life. Lord, I think that years ago, when I went to the house of the Lord, those old songs, they meant something when we sung them. Lord, I think when I went to the house of the Lord and I heard some preaching, that I thought they were talking to me. But now, Lord, I feel like I'm pretty distant. I feel like I'm pretty far. I feel like I've wandered quite away from the Lord and the Lord's people and the Lord's church. But he said, Lord, I don't like it. And I want something different. And I can't fix it myself. I can't make it better. But I know somebody that can. I don't know if you will. You're not obligated to. I'm not deserving of it. But he said, according to your tender mercies, would you change me? And then he says, this is how he says it. Lord, would you create in me a clean heart? Everybody here would delight for the Lord to change our heart. He said, Lord, would you create in me a clean heart? And Lord, would you renew a right spirit within me? Would you turn me, Lord, and renew a right spirit within me? He says, Lord, don't cast me away from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. And he says, Lord, would you restore the joy of thy salvation? And would you uphold me with thy free spirit?
He basically says, Lord, would you change me? And then David says something here. Now, if we vow a vow before the Lord, we ought to keep it. And here's David vowing a vow before the Lord. And he said, Lord, if you'll change me, there's going to be such a difference in my life. He says, then, what shall I render unto my God for all of his benefits shown toward me? He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now, this is what I think that means. This is what I believe it means. David is saying, Lord, when you work such a miraculous event in my life and you change and you turn me, he said, then I'm going to spend the rest of my life encouraging other people that were just like me. He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. How's the best way to teach transgressors the right way? It's to be the right example. It's to be in the right place at the right time with the right people. It's to look to the Lord. It's to tell others about the Lord and tell others what great things the Lord has done for you. He says, I'm then going to teach transgressors the right way. And he says, and as a result of that, sinners shall be converted unto thee. He doesn't say here that my life is going to have such an impact that it's going to give life to others that are around. But he says, my life is going to have such an impact that sinners are going to be converted or encouraged or changed to the right way. And David said, that's what I'm going to render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me. That's what I'll render unto the Lord. What shall I render unto my God for all his benefits toward me? Psalm 71. Here's a third example right here. Here's a third example. Probably one of the most difficult times in our entire life. When problems just sneak up on you, is a segment of life that if we all live long enough that we'll experience, and he refers to it here as old age. In fact, Ecclesiastes tells us that he refers to it as the evil days. But David says, the psalm says right here, he says, Lord, would you cast me not off in time of old age? And would you forsake me not when my strength faileth? David isn't saying right here, Lord, maintain my strength. He's saying that if I live long enough, that old age is going to creep up on me and there's going to be difficulties. And Lord, I'm praying that you'll even be with me and that you'll bless me and that you'll bless me to be an example even in my old age. Did you know that it's neat, but at every phase in our life, it's neat how that God uses the different phases of our life to serve him and to honor him and to glorify him. And he blesses young children to be a blessing and an encouragement, and their energy and their enthusiasm and their example is such a blessing. He blesses young couples when they have children and new babies and to see those families grow. I mean, you look at all the little ones that God has blessed us with here, and they're a special blessing. But when we reach old age, did you know that even that in itself, God uses in a special way to honor Him and to encourage others? Another place in Psalm, in Psalms 108, he says, "O God, my heart is fixed on Thee." Did you know that it's a blessing before we get to old age, or before the physical ailments come, before our mind begins to fail, before our body begins to fail? It's a blessing if God will bless us to have our heart and our mind fixed on the Lord. Let me give you the outcome of that. Many of you here know a dear, precious sister, Helen Beecham, who's from the Grace Chapel Church in Memphis, Tennessee. She's visited here. She was a great encouragement, a great blessing to us. She's about 97 years old now, 96, 97 years old. Up until her early 90s, she was extremely physically fit and her mind was keenly sharp. In fact, she was involved in the Senior Olympics and had, at one point, the last time that she visited here, I think she was about 90, she stayed with Mike and Judy at their home, and there's a story behind that, all in good humor. But she would win all these gold medals at the Senior Olympics. But when folks would come up to her, she would tell them, "The reason that I try to take care of myself and the reason that I try so hard and the reason that I try to keep myself in good shape is so I can use the energy and the mind that God has given me to serve Him and to serve others." After she turned about 92, her mind began to fail. After she turned about 94, she had a stroke. She now walks with assistance on a walker and hobbles around. And she can't even recognize oftentimes her own family members. Even the son and daughter-in-law that care for them, care for her in their home. But her pastor, Elder Zach Guest, said, "She's still a blessing." Because he said, years ago, her mind was fixed on the Lord. She set her mind on the Lord and on the things of the Lord. And he said, when we're singing hymns, even though she may not be able to read the words, they're stuck in her brain, and she can still sing those hymns of Zion, and she serves the Lord in singing hymns. And he says, with much assistance, she comes through the handshake, and as she shakes the hand, he says, "She may not be able to tell me my name, but," she says, "that was the best sermon that I've ever heard." And she's still rejoicing in the Lord, because her mind was fixed upon the Lord in years past. And then when she reached old age, God blessed her to keep her mind fixed on the Lord. And so she's still serving the Lord. David said, "Lord, when I reach old age, will you still hold me up? Would you still strengthen me? Would you still be by my side?" And he says, "Lord, if you'll hold me up, and if you'll not forsake me, and you'll be with me," he says, "then," he says, "I'll make every effort that I have and all the power that I have." He says, "when I'm old and gray-headed," he says, "Lord, don't forsake me." And he says, "then I'll show your strength, thy strength, through me unto this generation, and thy power unto everyone that is to come." If God's blessed you to live a long time and to face old age, he's done it not necessarily for your benefit, but for His glory.
There's a whole bunch more. I'll mention just a couple more. Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel chapter 5, when God delivered him, he went out and he announced to all the kingdom that the Lord, He's on the throne. He says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He says, but our God, He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And the God that we serve, He's in all power. He has all power. He said, I'm going to publish the name of the Lord. You go over into Acts chapter 9 and you see the experience of the Apostle Paul when the Lord began to deal with him in his life and when he touched him and granted him spiritual life and when he began to show him the things of the Lord. He said, Lord, what must I do? How can I serve you? How can I repay? How can I offer praise to you for all that you've done to me? The first thing that Paul did when the scales were removed from his eyes. God had done such a miraculous work in his life. First thing that he did is he was baptized. When we're baptized, it doesn't write our name. I wasn't as convinced as Brother Chuck that it was the name that our mother gives us that's written in heaven, but it may be. I might have changed at least my middle name, but if that's the one that's there, I'm not about to change it. Whatever name God has written, He knows us by. Amen. What shall I render? God's given us so many benefits. What do I render unto God for all His benefits toward me? Can't we say that God has truly been good to us? He's given us a lot of benefits. He's given us a lot of blessings. A whole host of them. What do we render to the Lord? Do we get in the habit of giving Him the leftovers? Just something just not right when we bring the leftovers to the house of the Lord. In all of the scriptures, it talks about the first fruits, that we're to give the first fruits unto the Lord. We're not to give what's left over, whether that's in our life, whether it's the provisions, if it's our strength, if it's our time. We're to offer first unto the Lord. Do we give Him the leftovers in our life? The Lord deserves the best. He doesn't need it. He already owns it all. But He deserves the very best in our life. What do I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I dropped the thought a while ago. Paul followed in baptism. Baptism does not give a spiritual life, but it does identify us as a follower of Jesus Christ. It does say, this is my name, comma, follower of Jesus Christ. Doesn't get our name in heaven, but it identifies us with other. It doesn't put away the filth of the flesh, but it is the answer of a good conscience toward the Lord. Best time to follow in baptism is when the Lord stirs up your conscience. Brother John Irwin, when the Lord began to deal with him, he didn't put it off. It's been a blessing to you, hadn't it?
Very much.
May the Lord bless us to follow Him and be a follower of Jesus Christ. What shall I render unto my God for all His goodness, all His benefits toward me? May God bless you.